Live from NPR News, I'm Giles Snyder. Food and Drug Commissioner Dr. Stephen Hahn is responding to published reports that the White House pressured him to ensure that the FDA authorize the emergency use of Pfizer's coronavirus vaccine by the end of the day Friday, or face being forced to resign.
Science and data guided the FDA's decision. We worked quickly based on the urgency of this pandemic, not because of any other external pressure.
At a press conference this morning, Dr. Hahn said the rapid development of Pfizer's vaccine does not mean that important safety checks were ignored. The FDA last night announced that it has granted emergency use authorization to the vaccine developed in conjunction with Pfizer's German partner. NPR's Joe Palca has more.
An emergency use authorization means the COVID-19 vaccine made by Pfizer and BioNTech can be distributed to the public. For the time being, at least, supplies of the vaccine will be limited. To get full protection, people need to get two shots of the vaccine spaced 21 days apart. A large study of some 44,000 people showed the vaccine was more than 90% effective in preventing COVID-19 illness. Many people in the study experienced side effects such as pain at the injection site and fatigue, chills, and fever, but these were not typically severe and only lasted a day or so. A similar vaccine made by Moderna could also get authorization in a week or so. Joe Palca, NPR News.
Pfizer's vaccine is being readied for distribution amid a surge in coronavirus infections. In California, a record number of people tested positive Thursday. Scott Rodd is with member station Cap Radio in Sacramento. He reports this comes as the state remains under a stay-at-home order.
More than 35,000 Californians tested positive for COVID-19 in a single day. That's more than double the single-day peak during the state's summer coronavirus surge. Meanwhile, the number of available intensive care unit beds continues to drop. Hospitals across most of the state have less than 15% available ICU capacity.
The U.S. Supreme Court last night shot down President Trump's effort to block Joe Biden's election as president. In a three-sentence order, the justices said they would not consider a lawsuit filed by the state of Texas and supported by the president that sought to invalidate election results in four key states. Here's NPR's Nina Totenberg.
For the last couple of days, Trump has been promoting the Texas lawsuit as the big one. But just hours after the last briefs were filed in the case, it fizzled, with the justices saying that Texas has no legal standing to complain about the way other states have conducted, counted, recounted, and certified their elections. So, barring any last-minute maneuvers, on Monday, the Electoral College delegates will cast their votes, and Biden will be formally the president-elect. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR News. A barrage of rockets fired from the outskirts of Kabul has killed at least one person. This is the second such rocket attack in the past few weeks. Here's NPR's Dia Hadid.
Kabul was once pounded into rubble by rocket attacks in the 90s during a bitter phase of the country's civil war. Such attacks have been rare since then, but there's been a rash of once unusual violence in Afghanistan since the U.S. signed a deal with the Taliban that will see foreign forces withdraw from the country by next spring.
The pandemic has changed the location for this afternoon's Army-Navy football game President Trump is planning to attend, as NPR's Franco Ordonez reports.
The game is usually played at a neutral site. It was scheduled to be played this year at Philadelphia's Lincoln Financial Field, but that was changed because of local protocols that put limits on the number of people who could attend. It was moved to the U.S. Military Academy, which is an Army facility, because as a U.S. government installation, it is not subject to the same restrictions. Trump traveled to Baltimore for the Army-Navy game in 2016, and he traveled to Philadelphia for the 2018 and 2019 matchups. Franco Ordonez, NPR News.
New Zealand and the Cook Islands have reached an agreement to allow people to fly between the two countries without a quarantine requirement. A travel bubble is expected to be in place early next year. It would be the first such bubble that New Zealand has agreed to since closing its borders when the coronavirus first hit. Australia is seeking a similar arrangement and has opened its borders to New Zealanders, but New Zealand has so far declined to reciprocate. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News.